JJN. This is KN4HTP that reminded me most evenings Mark reads from the Bible after dinner, and we're quiet and we're listening, and he often records the reading, and we send it to our son just so he can be in on the family scripture reading too. And a couple of times a week at least, our dog gets her squeaky toy out at the exact same time, and so you hear her squeaking and pawing and sleeping and, you know, playing with her toy at the same time in the background. And one of these days I'm going to have to ask Max if he can hear it or if it's just us that are kind of cracking up while Mark's reading from the Bible.
This is KN4RJN. Well, hopefully he hears it. Otherwise, he's probably wondering how the Bible got so comical.
We're in the Old Testament. We're in Joshua right now. Why are we cracking up during Joshua? I like that. Do you have plans for your grandkids this year?
Well, my son-in-law has decided that he's not going anywhere for Christmas. They bought a fairly big house. It's got more rooms than you can shake a stick at. He said, I bought this big house, and anybody wants to come over for Christmas, you know, can. And so we're going to head over there probably Christmas morning sometime. And I know his folks are coming up the night before, and then they've got to get back. So we'll head over that way. My daughter's working on the Christmas dinner, and well, for Thanksgiving she worked on the Thanksgiving dinner, and we brought the desserts. I'm not sure what's happening this time, but I think we're probably going to be tagged for the desserts again. So we'll be over there at least for that period of time, and other than that, we don't plan on going anywhere either, other than just down the road to their house. So that's our plans. How about y'all?
Coming in, so I asked him, he's never lived in South Carolina with us. He was out of the nest before we moved here, and I asked him last time I saw him, I can't remember how many months ago that was. Oh no, it was just for Thanksgiving. For me, when it's in the past, it's in the past. Anyway, I asked him if he thought of South Carolina as home, even though he'd never lived here, or if some other place he thought of as home, and he said, no, it's home, Mom, because that's where you and Dad are. So I thought that's nice. It doesn't matter where you go, you're what makes it home. So that made me feel good. So he's coming home, South Carolina, for the holiday, which I'm really looking forward to.
This is KN4RJN. Yeah, Kathy just walked in and wanted me to let you know about her book site. She's got a number of books out that you may enjoy. It's called booksbykathleengibson.com. And take a look at that, and there's several of a spiritual nature that you may be interested in. And other than that, that's all I've got on this end, so I will say 73s and back on out of here, even though I just got in. This is KN4RJN, and I am clear.
RJN, this is KN4HTP. I want to say hello to Miss Kathy, and I will definitely take a look at KathleenGibson.com, booksbykathleengibson.com, and, I'm interested in stuff like that, so thanks for passing along that tip. All right, this is KN4HTP, Net Control with the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Is there anyone out there that I've missed for comments or for check-ins? We're checking in all the way through the alphabet. Please call KN4HTP or Net Control.
See, I have a question.
Question.
November 9th, I was on with a school teacher and a bunch of kids. And I was going to send them some material. And I said, oh, send me the names and I'll send you the material. And after I signed off, I didn't write down his call. Do you know of a school teacher that has, I believe they're fourth graders, they were 9 years old. Do you know of a school teacher that's on this repeater?
KN4HTP, not aware. Anyone who's still listening in know of one of the people on this repeater who is a school teacher, about fourth grade or nine years old, I think. This is KN4HTP. I would give it another try tomorrow night with Mr. Walt. I never write it down. K4OIM. Anyway, yeah, K4OIM. Walt, he calls the net tomorrow. And just come in right at 9 when he asks for, he'll ask for announcement or bulletins, and you can come on without questions. And then later he has a round table at the end of the check-in, and so you could bring that up again. But there are a lot of people who check in on this repeater, so definitely worth asking a few times to try and make that connection. So good luck to you. Have I missed anyone else for comments or for check-ins? This is KN4HTP, Net Control with the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net. Is there anyone else that would like to check in on the radio or on Echo Link? Please call KN4HTP or Net Control. Net report tonight will be submitted electronically, and I will break for a minute for the automatic net report to transmit tonight's results. Just for your information, I have 53 check-ins tonight, so it's been an excellent night. Hold on for that to transmit. KN4HTP, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s and good night, everybody.
KO4NUE. KO4NUE, this is KO4JKV. You there? KO4NUE. KK4JBQ. Go ahead and get you another bag of popcorn.
So I like popcorn. I was getting ready to make some. I am. My finger is on the hot button on buying a radio. But I didn't know, Chad, if you were getting ready to do a Q-Zone with Larry, so just let me know. But, yeah, I'm afraid my wife gave me the green light, and we're doing a radio order. So, but, yeah, you guys go ahead, KO4JKV.
KKV, push the button. Send it.
Yep. Well, I did it about 3 nights ago. I put everything in. Shipping address, different from billing, all the credit card information, the code, and it says just send. It's like, there's like, my left eye started twitching, and then I felt like blood pressure rising in my left temple. I said, maybe this is not the right radio.
Let me word it this way. I remember my dad telling me when I got married, we were going to wait until we felt like we were qualified to be parents. And he said, if you wait until you think you're ready, you'll never have kids. So, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, whatever you've bought or thinking about buying, when it comes in the door, this will not be the last time that your left eye twitches. It will not be the last time your blood pressure rises. And it will not be the last time that your wife looks at you funny concerning AM radio. So I digress and go back to my original statement and just push the button. KO4HKX, I second that.
KO4JKV, yeah, what I'm thinking about, what I'm getting ready to order is, right now, the way I'm thinking is the Yaesu FT891, because I do a lot of camping, and it seems to be a good radio, very compact, but I've also, you know, thought about the ICOM 7300, and but recently, I think that the Yaesu FT-991, I saw some YouTube videos that if you're trying to dig out SSB signals, that FT-991 is a savage.
Ed and I both are talking to you on 891, or I am, I know, and I know he's got one, so I'll recommend it above the other one, but I know which radio you're talking about, too. It's good for portability.
I hear you there, and I'm good with my, you know, my short game with the DHF, UHF, and I'm actually getting, my mom bought me, it's so funny, I'm 50 years old, my mom's still buying me presents, but I'm getting a 80-watt Yaesu single band, just VHF only radio. I think it's called an 8990 or something like that. But I'm leaning towards the 991 or just getting the 891. I don't know if that makes sense. But you guys keep talking. You guys talk because I'm just one of us.
Patrick, you want it? Nah, you go ahead this time. And there's the member I'm a club, the club I am a member of. There's at the time they were not licensed to operate, they were studying. But they went up to the Shelby Ham Fest to just see what it was all about before they got their license. When they got to the entrance, they gave them a little ticket and said, we're going to have a drawing to win a radio sometime, you know, during the Ham Fest. So they didn't think anything about it, and they went and looked at the Ham Fest, got in the car, and came back home. A week and a half later, whoever was giving the radio away at the Shelby Ham Fest contacted them and said, hey, you guys won the radio. So I was over there the other night looking at it, and it's a Yaesu. It's a Yaesu 891, brand new, in the box, never has been opened. And I mean, what kind of luck is that, you know? I mean, I couldn't believe it, you know? But, so yeah, there you go. I mean, I will say this, Duncan, with the 991, not only is it good at digging things out of the weeds, it's pretty good at processing speech too. I haven't done a lot of DXing, but when you have a pile up and everybody's trying to, you know, get a contact, and just 10 or 15 people there, you can adjust your transmit audio to, you know, be a step above the pile up, so that whoever's taking the calls, you know, they can hear your voice better, and the odds are that you're gonna get into the pile up before anybody else does. So if I could describe a 991, it would be beast mode, because it does a really good job. You know, there's some downsides that I've figured out, but not many. KO4NUE for station ID.
JKV, Chad, I was just curious. Are you talking on that the Yaesu radio right now?
I am.
I tell you, you have one of the biggest, brightest signals coming through, and that might have to do with my game, but that's really cool. I thought about that for the 991, just because it does, you know, they say it's a shack in the box, but I don't need a shack in the box. I've been getting into this just fine for a while now. But, yeah, I think the 991, just over the 7300, I'll just do the 991. But now I'm trying to save some money, and also I'd like to go out and do a lot of tent camping, so that 891 is what I'm thinking about. But I already got it in my head, and I already, so I don't want, you don't got to help me, guide me or anything, because I think I already got it figured out. And, thank you guys for all the guidance to this point. KO4, JK.
KI4LZI. I may have asked this before, I don't recall. Everything I got here is old channel lock-wise, so I can't really say for sure, but is the 8900R still being built, or is it discontinued?
For NUE, I don't know, Andy. I don't know. I'm not sure what year that was built, but I've never heard of it.
Looking at a 2018 HRO catalog, and it was still in the HRO catalog as of 2018. The one I'm here on, I got in 2006.
68. It's just showing that 8900R to be discontinued.
Yeah, or just when, you know?
It does not say, it just says radio has been discontinued.
Using here now, I was just wondering. If it was, I have to think somewhere down the line of something happened to about the parts. But when it comes, like Gary said before, you know, it's good to have them all in one box, but when it comes to sending them off for repair, that's when it's going to tell the tale. Now, in the case where he was talking about camping, that might be different, but it still same thing will apply if it has to be repaired. You've always got to keep that in the back of your mind. So far, this 8900R here I got, I bought back in 06. I spent quite a bit of money for me, but it's done me good all these years and still going, and I like that. KI4LZI.
LZI, KI4LZI. This is KO4JKV. Can you tell me what the model of your radio is? I'm just curious. I'm sure it's a big hunk of burning love, but I'm just curious to know what you've been checking in with. Over.
Quad band, 6 meter, 2 meter, 70 centimeter, 10 meter FM. When I bought this radio here, there's a 6 meter machine up here on Caesar's Head up here above me. And some in the group over here uses 6 meter FM, as well as 70 centimeter, and we got two meter machines. It's not an HF radio, it's strictly a quad band. But when I bought this thing, it was a real, real high dollar radio. KI4LZI.
KI4LZI, this is KO4JQP. Okay, I understand. I'll talk more about what I've been thinking, what I'm going to order. I got the green light from the powers that be, but you guys go ahead. I got to see a man about a horse, and you guys keep talking. I'll turn the volume up so I can hear you. KO4JKV.
BQ, KO4NUE.
BQ here, Chad.
One's a question, or an observation, really. The other one is, so Anna went to Dimitri's tonight, this little restaurant up here in Gowansville. And they had a special tonight on orzo, chicken orzo soup. And oh my goodness. I've never had orzo soup before, but those little packets of pasta, man, that's something else.
That's one of my favorite soups. Did you have the lemon chicken flavor?
No, it's not lemon. It's just, not sure what it is. Chicken and carrots and... I don't know what it is. It's good. That's all I need to know.
Would you want to try something a little different? Just a slight variation. The lemon orzo chicken soup is quite good. I have time to put the spoon down. Bring on more.
So, here's my observation, Larry. I just want to see if this is, if I'm thinking correct, or what I'm seeing is correct. So, today's Monday, I think. So Saturday, I put up a G5 RV. It's used, but it's in good condition. And I noticed that the diameter of wire on the dipole portion, not the ladder line, but the antenna itself, is, I don't know, probably 3 to 4 times the diameter of the wire that I have for my dipole. And I don't know, I just can't deal with the noise. It's like when I increase the wire size, I'm getting more signal. But with that is more noise. Now, I'm able to filter that out, or almost of it. But I don't have to do that with my dipole. It's just, you know, I may be missing some contacts there. Of course, I built the dipole for 3.915. That's all I wanted to do with it, and it does it well. But I don't know, this G5 RV, I mean, I'm sure it's a good antenna, but man, the noise it comes with, is that, am I doing something wrong, or is that what I'm, is that correct?
I don't know that you're doing anything wrong, or that the antenna is operating outside of what might be normal for a G5 RV. But there's a couple of things to keep in mind. Anytime you have a choice between the diameter of wire that you use for the antenna, you got the decisions on the left hand and the decisions on the right hand. You have to slide a scale. So let's just say it's the diameter of the wire, the gauge. A larger gauge wire will offer a broader bandwidth. That is to say, when you tune to a frequency, the antenna will remain in tune both to the left and to the right of that center frequency in a broader sense. It'll work better when you retune it'll work better without retuning, I should say, with a large diameter wire. But of course, on the other hand, large diameter wire is heavy in the air. This is a center supported antenna. Well, sometimes you can slope it a little bit on one or both ends, but you need to tie it off, 10, 12 feet in the air if you're going to slope it. It's got to be 26 feet in the air. That's one of the rules of a G5 RV. Its vertical element, or that that ladder line portion, which is the radiator, has got to come down from the feed point to 26 feet. And then that's where you use a balance to connect your coax to the ladder line. You can slope either of the arms of the antenna. Maybe get performance that you like more. But that's aside from the point that you're asking about. You're asking about noise. And I have to ask you a question and then I'll make a comment. Where is this located? On what property is this located?
It's here in Campobello.
So is that in a residential neighborhood? Do you have houses around? Is it close to your own house?
It's about 70 feet from the house. Due west from the house. You can look at it on QRZ. You can see, you know, what I mean by due west. But the antenna tips are north and south. So the house has got a tin roof on it. And I don't know. Well, there's the answer to your question.
I guess what I was fishing around for was how close the antenna itself is to anything that might be making RF noise. And that would be lines close to the house. My backyard is about 12 feet deep. My backyard is an alley. It has grass. My house and a retaining wall. So any antenna that I might put up has got to be at most 12 feet. And so I get noise. I'm an expert on noise. I have a noise floor here about S7 to S8. And when your S unit, your S meter goes that high, any signal that you hear clearly has to be an S9, maybe an S8, just on the edge. So it's just all like this truck.
KK4JBQ. Larry, will you check your antenna connection?
You, like I was talking, KI4LZI here. Why, I don't even consider a vertical near this power line here. I spend big bucks, put it up, and have nothing but racket and noise coming off the power line. It would self-defeat the purpose and put a lot of money in and still not be able to do anything. But even some other antennas, if you get close to the wrong thing, might do that, but I've heard other people who used G5RVs and done well, than others, you know, haven't. So it varies by situation to situation. KI4LZI.
Q, is this any better?
Much better, much better. KO4NUE.
For taking up the space there, I don't know how much you might have heard and what was dropped out.
Most of it is just a lot of static. I did miss some of it though, Larry. But just for additional information, so when I first started this, I bought a G5 or W5 mystery antenna and put it up, and I just thought I was doing something wrong because it was just so noisy. But when I first started, I didn't realize HF was noisy. Then I listen to that thing for months, and then when I went through the training with you and Walt and Gary and built that dipole, I thought, man, this is nice. This is really nice. So I just got a wild hair and went back to the G5RV. I'm just not going to do it. I'm happy with what I got, and I'm not going to change it. So there you go. I mean, I'm going to put it back up. I can't stand it.
BQ. Well, the point of any vertically polarized antenna is that in an RF noisy environment, such as a housing development or power lines like Andy is contending with, you have vertically polarized noise. Your antenna is going to pick that up. And while a G5RV is a flat top dipole, it also has a vertical element. And those wires in the ladder line will radiate energy, but they also pick up energy. And it'll come right into your shack. You do need to use a transformer. I'm assuming that you are using a 9-to-1, I suppose it is. A 9-to-1 Balun transferring from the ladder line to coax. And the coax itself will not pick up RF, but then it comes up just till it begins to come into the house, and you should have a choke there. That is to say, a 1-to-1 Balun. It's not really a Balun, but it's people call it that. A 1-to-1 choke. So there's no direct connection with the transmission line and your feed line coming out of the back of the radio. You have that 1-to-1 transformer. There is no hard wire connection. And so noise, which is on the transmission line, that 70 feet of coax, or even the noise that comes through the 9-to-1 Balun, it will be choked off, and you'll get a noise reduction of maybe as much as 2 S units with a choke right outside the entry into the house. Best I can tell you. KK4JDQ.
I'll try that. I'm not sure I've got a 9-to-1, but I'll go see what I got. But I just wanted to tell you, I'm as it stands right now, I'm not happy with it, but I'm gonna shut down for a couple of days and go spend some time with my cousin, and I need to get some firewood up too, so I'm just gonna take a break for a couple of days, because oh man, I tore the ham shack apart the other day. I mean, tore it completely apart and got it laid out a little bit better. But I'm beginning to wonder if it was worth the cost.
What you mean about tearing a ham shack apart? I had some water issues in this room again, and I'm going to have to tear mine apart. But good news is that when I put it back together again, I don't know what. I just got to get up my courage. I'm going to put the 857 back into service. It's been in a box for 2 years or so, and that's not fair to that radio. And I'm tired of wearing out batteries. Oh, let me ask you, you're not sure you have a 9-to-1 Balun? Well, how are you negotiating between the ladder line and the coax? KK4JBQ.
Got 9 wraps of coax around a piece of PVC going into the feed line. think it's 9. And that dropped. That dropped my impedance a little bit. And I just said, well, I'm just going to see if I can just tune it and see if I was able to get the SWRs, not an issue, but I just figured I'd try it. And I made some contacts with it, but I just have to really work the radio to use it, and I'm just not used to that, you know. That thing I built's just, I don't know, I don't know why I even thought about taking it down. I feel like a traitor now.
Well, I wouldn't, just offhand, I wouldn't condemn the antenna. It really does need a 9-to-1 balance. Your coax is 50 ohm. Your ladder line is 450 ohm. So 9 times 5 is 45. Add the 0, that's 450. So the 9-to-1 balun, you will have a transference from 450 ohm to 50 ohm. And then you should address the entry into the shack also with a choke. The ugly balun, this, some people call it that. Many of them are not pretty. Yours is probably pretty. But the balun that you use at the feed point, that's not a transforming balun. You need it is in a sense, because it uses air instead of iron or something like it. The mix that they make for toroids, that's usually what people use these days to wind. And you can do it yourself. I wouldn't go out, unless you're just, pressed for time or something. You can buy a 9-to-1 balun. Many good makers have those, but you could probably get one at a ham fest, for less. But it's a lot of fun to make them yourself. And, you can find many people who show how to make them, how to wind the toroid, the connectors to use. You'll put a lot of time into making it, but it'll be a good experience. I've made them, and it's nice to do something like that and it be successful. Anyway, we should probably let Andy have a window here. KK4JPQ.
LZI, I was just listening to you two talk there. One thing about it, all these, everybody that's fairly new who's going to learn one thing about HF compared to where we are now on FM. There's a big difference in FM and HF that's not FM. All the noise, the QRN, static crashes. There's a very, very big difference. Partly why everybody went to FM here on 2 meters from what I read about. In the 60s and 50s, everybody was using AM here on 2 meters. There wasn't no repeaters, but they were using AM, and the equipment become available from first responders using FM and some of the rule changes. And everybody went to FM because it's a whole lot quieter. No static crashes killing your ears and not picking up all kinds of strange noise. FM is something that wraps compared to the way it is on HF. KI4LZI.
Well, you have reminded me of something. That static electricity will sound like a high noise level. It is just static, but it builds up in a windy location. Chad, is that G5RV in a windy location, 70 feet from the house?
It's on the top of, it's in a pine thicket. that's where I've gotten all, you know, went through all my antenna testing, which is probably not the best place in the world to do that, but that's where it is.
At least it'll be consistent. Pine being an evergreen and not deciduous, you won't have seasonal performance differences. If you have pine needles, the signal has to get through that. And if they're wet, it has to get through that also, wet pine needles. But we're in a season now where the trees have lost their leaves, and signals can sound a lot cleaner without foliage. But a pine forest is going to be consistent year-round. Well, you take it down if you like, or keep working on it. I'll be as helpful as I can. Any antenna is a compromised thing, and but there are ways of addressing its issues. KK4JBQ.
UV. Remember a couple months ago when I told you, you know, as you grow, the way I do things is it forces me to get in a situation where it forces me to learn. I think it might be a time to revisit this nasty word and start to pin down some specifics. I'm just going to have to think through that for a little bit, try to figure this thing out. I feel like I've got I'm at a basic point now with the dipole that I built, and I am very happy with it. But you are right when you introduce a ladder line. See, the dipole that I built, it's, if I charted it right, I want to say it's, if I remember correctly, it was 40, 45 ohms from what I charted. I'm not sure that's the best way to do that, but it is what it is. So what I'm saying is I didn't consider when you add the ladder line to it, that's a different transmission path. So I just didn't think through that. Now it's time to figure out, to dig down in the weeds a little deeper. Or as you would say, stick my shovel right in it.
Your shovel in it. Well, but by making your own, Dallin, or understanding why the one that you purchase works is one of the keys. You know, there's a whole, you know, you ever seen a like they had back in the West when they had jails in the sheriff's office? They had this big ring that the keys were on. Well, the keys for amateur radio are on a big ring, and you have to put them on one at a time. And then you carry them around and make noise. But understanding I'm sure the nasty word you were talking about is impedance. It is a kind of resistance. It is measured in ohms, just like ohmic resistance is measured, the R resistance. And I know you want to stay away from math. I know you want to do that. But a little bit will go a long way. You know, it'll go a long way. So if you have any transformer has a primary winding and a secondary winding, you're aware of that, right? So if you have one turn on the primary and 7 turns on the secondary. That is a ratio of 1-7. If you have 2 windings on the primary and 14 windings on the secondary, that's still a ratio of 2 to 14 or 1-7 if you just do a reduction there. And then you square that number, and you get 49. Don't ask me why. This is how I get through math. I can memorize what's necessary to memorize, and I hope that nobody asks me to derive why that is. If you worked with much higher math, you go through derivations. How do you get there? What do you mean? That's what your instructor will ask you. So I just know that you take the ratio of the primary to the secondary and square that, and you'll have a 49-1, whether it's 14 to 2 or 17-1 windings. And you do that on a toroid, which looks like a donut. You've probably seen those. And you wire the input from the ladder line and an output to the coax. You use the proper connectors there. And you're set to go. It sits there and works all on its own. No adjustments, whatever. KK4JBQ.
Y'all go ahead and carry on. If y'all are still in here later when I come back, I'll be back then. I got to go take some insulin, KI4LCI.
I'm showing my tire. I'm on lockdown for the night, I guess, Larry. But I will revisit this. I'm torn, though. I got to be honest with you. I really am. Because the dipole I've got is working. It's working well. I have no complaints with it. But I need to dig a little deeper. Something tells me though that mine may not be performing, the one I built may not be performing as well as other antennas could. I find that hard to believe that some old country hick like me can string up 2 pieces of wire and it be the best antenna in the world. There's got to be something that performs a little better. But I don't think I can comprehend any of that tonight. I've been working with comm ports all day, and I'm beat down. But we'll revisit it. Let me get educated up enough to where I can at least legitimately ask some questions about it. And we'll go from there, but I'll be out of the loop for a couple of days. But I guess go ahead and get spooled up, because I can see there's going to be some questions coming. But with that said, I'm gonna clear on out, Larry. I'm tired, bud. KO4NUE, I'll be clear on your final, sir.
You know, this kind of thing, it's necessary to have a clear mind and not be exhausted. It's not hard. It really isn't hard, especially if you're working with the parts and pieces. You will pick up things differently. If someone spoke to you and says, "Well, here's how you change a spark plug," simplest thing I know of, for an example, this is how you change a spark plug. And they could talk to you for 2 hours, and you'll make some mistake. You'll have a problem if you've never done it before. But as soon as you, if someone is there to help you talk through any issues that come up as you begin to change the spark plug, it'll seem so much easier. So it's a good thing that you got it in the air and that it's not performing as you want it to, and you can address the problems. And when you get it all polished up, you will love it. You will just absolutely love it. Get yourself a good night's rest. This is KK4JBQ. I hope everyone out there listening has a good night. I'm going to be clear. 7-3.